You're listening to the Side Gig Central podcast, episode number 6. I'm giving you fair warning. If you're easily offended and you're good with the status quo, this episode is not for you. Just letting you know in advance that I'm about to get super controversial up in here, so hold on to your phone chargers, your car air fresheners, and your barf bags, because this one's a doozy. On today's episode, I talk with side gig entrepreneur Will Pasternak, a phenomenal father of five, an engineer with amazing background, an MBA, the son of a recording legend, Jill Pasternak from Philly's own WRTI, and a rideshare driver with over 7,000, yes, 7,000 lifetime rides under his belt. Our topic today is, yep, you guessed it, rideshare and the fast-changing landscape of the industry. Will and I talk about where we think the industry is headed, what's changed for drivers in the past 6 months, and most controversial of all, we talk about the AB5 bill that recently passed in California, the ticking time bomb that could be bad news for drivers, or good news, depending upon how you look at it. And we also talk about why this is absolutely horrible news for both Uber and Lyft, as both their business models depend heavily on classifying their workers as independent contractors. Guys, I cannot stress this enough. Rideshare drivers, listen to this episode. It is jam-packed, just like your grandma's attic with empty boxes and bags, with cannot-miss information that directly affects your livelihood. I think it's time we ripped off that Band-Aid and we take a good look of what's under the hood of what's actually going on with rideshare today. The Side Gig Central podcast is powered by Drive It Away, the only rental car company built around rideshare drivers so that you can rent to own your vehicle. Visit driveitaway.com for more details. You're listening to the Side Gig Central podcast, where we truly believe that your side gig has the power to change your life. My name is Elena Ciccatelli, and I'm a small business owner and side gig hustler just like you. I'm so excited to help you redefine what success looks like in today's gig economy. Listen in on honest conversations that I have with the experts and from hardworking side gig entrepreneurs just like you who are killing it with their side hustle. Learn the best strategies, tips, and tricks that have helped others pave their own way and craft their dream side gig. So if you're ready to get started, up your game, and do the work, you're definitely in the right place. Let's get started. So welcome to the show, Will. I've been looking forward to our conversation for some time since I met you last week, and I'm really pumped to speak with you today.
I am too. Thank you for having me on the show, and if you're looking for, you know, the modern day, you know, gig daddy, so to speak, that's what I am.
Gig and, daddy. Gig I like daddy. That.
Father of five kids.
I know. Five
just
kids.
Trying to make it, you know?
Exactly. And again, we have so much to talk about today. I want to dive in immediately. I want to actually give me the rundown of everything about Will. Give me a kind of summary, like your story. How did you get to where you are today?
Okay, it's really quite an interesting story for a lot of people that hear it after they meet me. I was I'll just give you a brief rundown of how my life and everything. I'm the son of a Juilliard Fulbright. My mother's Jill Pasternak of WRTI Radio, and she was the Radio City Music Hall harpist and played Carnegie Hall and all over Broadway. So she was a harpist originally and then became a radio talk show host on WRTI. My dad was a set decorator for Ed Sullivan and for Jackie Gleason, and he did a lot of Sesame Street and all that stuff. So my family has always been, you know, like I was saying, in media, TV, theater. And my whole, all my relatives are immigrants from Russia. They're all the Yiddish theater, you know, in New York City. So we're from New York City originally. But anyway, my mom, as we were growing up, she would be doing jobs in New York City, you know, with the harp, and we lived in Short Hills, New Jersey. And, I grew up there. It was beautiful, beautiful upbringing. So, I was accepted to Temple University, and I went there for undergrad. And long story short, they gave me a scholarship to study in Japan. When I was in Japan, I actually got onto an incredible thing. I was sitting with my girlfriend there while I was studying, and she's like, you know, why don't you go to the airbase? And I was like, airbase, you know, what am I going to do there? And she's like, you know, I'm not a soldier. I'm a student and I'm just living here. She said, well, you can get a job there and you can work. While I was over in Japan, I got an opportunity to work in Australia. So long story short, those contracts were wonderful at the time because they were promoting small business. So Boeing and Dynacor, these huge companies, would compete against me and I could win because I was a small guy and my price was better. So there was a time when it was like that. Now it's, you know, it changed. It's completely different. So you have these huge companies that subcontract all these projects. So I had to get out of that business.
How about
so,
that?
So anyway, so I have these ideas. So we come back, we leave through Guam to Houston to back to Philadelphia, and we come and we get into the super shuttle, you know, the bus at the airport. And the man says to me, he says, Will, you know, because we were talking, and he says, Will, you know, how long are you staying? I said, oh, we're staying permanently. And then he took his hand and he went like this to me. And I was, you know, and I was like, oh my God, what does that mean? What omen is that?
So for people listening, what gesture did you just do?
What do you call that?
You did the sign of the cross.
Right. He did that to me. He did that to me.
He was blessing you.
I'm Jewish. So,
right,
yeah.
Right.
but he did that to me. And I thought to myself, oh my God. We got to my mom's place. Everybody put their rucksacks on the ground and everybody's happy to see us and everything. And my mom was incredibly happy and I was incredibly happy. And she said, okay, hon, you know, so welcome back. And, you know, you know, it's not easy here, you know. And I said, don't worry, Mom. You know, I got all this experience, education, languages, and I can do anything. You know, I can do anything. Okay. So here we are. The resumes go out everywhere. There's I'm applying to everything because I'm great, right? I can do anything, right? I thought. But, you know, I'm 52 years old now. When we arrived, I was 47. I didn't think that mattered, but it seems like it's a little bit more difficult to get hired as you get older. So nothing was happening. And I got an email from Lyft. And they said, you know, drive people around. You know, you make money with your own car and your own cell phone. And I looked at it. I was like, this thing is illegal and I'm not
this
gonna
can't
do
be
it.
Real so I got this is a, not a real
yeah,
thing
and I got an email saying that they're like in the court and it's not allowed to do it, but if you do it, you're part of a revolution. So you know me, when I heard that,
he
I was like, revolution.
Yes.
I was like, that's me.
Will's like, I'm in.
He got his, I don't know what it is,
he raised his hand right away.
Yeah. So Lyft did this and I was like, okay, well, we don't have a car and we don't have a cell phone because we just came. We didn't know anything. So anyway, so, you know, I said, forget this thing. And I got hired right away as a Japanese translator for a pharmaceutical company. So, you know, I worked on that for a year and I learned that some of these jobs are contract. So it ends.
Yeah.
They hire you, they pay you really well, and then it's over. So here I am a year later. I'm like, where am I going to work? And then I looked at my email. And I said, there's one from Uber. There's one from Lyft. And my wife's like, you know, she's very outgoing, and she's like, go ahead, give it a shot, go ahead. I'm like, my mom's looking at me and she's like, what are you doing? Who is going to go in your car at 4 a.m. and not knowing you, and you're going to drive them home? I said, I don't know, I'm going to try it anyway. So long story short, I called up Lyft, I got approved, I went to a parking lot in a remote location near a gym or something, and a person came to me and said, okay, your car looks good, you'll be on in 24 hours. I was like, okay. Went out the first night, worked 8 hours, made $150, and I said, oh my God, what is this? So here we are sitting, 7,400 rides later.
So I just want to pause for a moment.
Sure.
7,400
rides later. I can't believe it.
Insane. And you are an animal.
And I still have a 5. Oh, I think I have a 5.0
you
rating.
You definitely have a 5.0.
I have a 5.0 rating.
What is the time span of that?
That's 3.5 years since I lost my job, the contract job from the Japanese.
Okay.
I was like, and you know, and then people started sending me, Will, send us your resume, you know, here are jobs to apply. And I was like, well, you know, I got my own freedom. I can take my kids to school. I can pick them up from school. I'm making this crazy money. It's like I take someone to Trenton from Philadelphia and they give me like $80. And then I go to JFK and they give me $250 for 2 hours and it's my car and my business. I don't think I want to give this thing up. Then Uber asked me to come and I was like, well, I'm going to do this as a backup. So I got onto Uber and I started doing Uber, and Uber was a backup. Then DoorDash came and I was like, I'm going to do this too, because if I can't find a job, I got to have money for these little kids here and my wife. And then Caviar came. I was like, okay, what the, you know. And then freelancer.com, I started doing that.
Yep.
because I have computer skills, teaching English online. These are all gigs, you know?
Exactly.
Through QQ. And I learned how to use QQ, the Chinese system, teaching English to Japanese students, teaching English to Chinese students, Fiverr, doing jobs for $5. I did everything because I had one goal, to make money for my family. And the economy, the job market rejected me when I came home. So, you know, I'm like, I got to make my own way.
And this, you know, what's crazy though? You have so many skills. You're like a unicorn, right? Your skills
doesn't matter.
Right.
Doesn't matter anymore.
But here's the thing, but you're almost like a side gig, like aggregator almost, right?
I'm the poster boy for gigs.
Because, that's what I'm saying, because side gig daddy.
I did gig daddy. You know, my kids, I take them to school, I kiss them, I work, lift the whole day they're in school. I pick them up from school. We go into our activities, whatever, we eat dinner together, and then I go out again from the evening until the morning, you know.
So I want to actually pause right here because there's a ton of things that are happening in the rideshare industry right now. It is completely a tumultuous landscape right now. So I just want to give you a couple of examples. So we've actually got hourly rates that are drying up in virtually every major market in the U.S. because there's an oversaturation of drivers. Yeah. We've got an employee, and I'm using air quotes here, classification looming because of the AB5 legislation that passed recently, which could really be a game changer for Lyft and Uber's business model.
And if that did become, you know, where you're working on shifts and stuff like that, like you were saying, you know, the whole draw of like this whole thing was that you could have your own business, you'd be an independent contractor. And then, you know, when it starts to become a thing where everybody can work there and everybody can get a shift, I would think that it would be harder to get a job with Uber and Lyft at that time.
Yeah. And for folks that don't really know,
that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Absolutely.
Wait a second. You mean I can't use this whenever I want? Like, I can't go to my job and on my way to my job, you know, pick up three customers to pay the bridge to go over to my job? Mm-hmm. Or after work, you know, my kids want food from Wawa, I can't drive three or four rides to make the money for the hoagies and the thing. You know, that was the thing that was so amazing about it, that you could make you could make good money. And I'm talking like, you would go out, you would say, I'm going to work 8 hours today and I'm going to make maybe $120.
But what's changed though? What's changed?
Well, now it's really changed. And you know, unfortunately, you know, for me, you know, I decided to get back into the job force. I was very lucky and I got a full-time job, which I just started 2 days ago and I'm very happy about. And my wife's happy too. But I thought that I was going to do Lyft till I retire and after retirement. But it's very strange because when you do so many rides, like 7,000, over 7,400 rides, which is what I've done, and I've seen everything. I mean, I've seen everything. And I'm not saying that I'm brilliant, but when I do something, I do it to the best. If I'm a garbage man, I'll be the best garbage man you got. If I'm a driver, I'll be the best driver you got. But this thing, it's like when you're doing it so many times, you have an intuition about, because you accept the ride, and you drive the person, you say, okay, I'm going to get $13.50 or $13.75. Us drivers, we know this because it keeps coming. You know what to expect. And something happened, like you get this like jolt every time it comes back to you. You're like, wait a second, I expected more than that.
So explain that to me a little bit further. So are you talking about the majority of the rides?
Oh, absolutely.
So now
you've
seen a shift from, like you explained before, that you were doing, you know, that $250 like trip to jail.
It's
like,
not $250 anymore.
Exactly.
Maybe it's $175.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. Yeah, that's exactly.
And you know what? You know what it is, and it's sad because, you know, It was a wonderful thing because you would like you could depend on it, but now it's kind of, I don't know what the reason is, you know, what's happened, but it's changed. And it's like you have like this morning I took a personal note when I was coming over here. You know, I looked at the airport because I love the airport. The queue is full. I mean, there were days there were no drivers, and you would drive over there, they'd send you a message saying, you know, get over to the airport, you'll be the first in the queue. The queue is full and you got 200 people, 250 waiting for a $10 ride.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's kind of like, you know, I'm not saying, I'm only saying that I am a true Lyft, rideshare driver. I have been through everything. I'm telling you, you know, we pay our own gas, we pay our own cars. I got a car from Drive It Away, and they're wonderful. Emmanuel over there, and he has, you know, you call these guys at 2 or 3 in the morning, and they will help you. You know, you pay your bill, your car works. You don't pay your bill, they turn off the car. You know, it's like that, which is that's right. What life is, right?
Right, right.
So, but they always work with you, and he got me a car, man, on like a moment's notice. I mean, and you give them like a couple $100 deposit and you're all set and you can go to work. Well, you know, you get that car and then you go out there and it's like you drive all the way from downtown Philly all the way up to Temple University and there's no customers for you. And, you know, you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, oh my God, hour one has gone by. I made $3, you know. Hour two goes by, I mean, $7. This is all true, you know.
So the other question that kind of pops into my mind, though, too, is Lyft and Uber are having issues with profitability. This is
They lost $1 billion.
This is not a mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, too, with the fact that we have the AB5 bill that passed in California.
Oh, that's
huge. Which, again,
that's
if
huge.
All of these drivers, which are millions of drivers across the United States, are all then classified as employees.
Oh, I don't think it will. I don't think that it won't be viable because the business model, from what I read about Uber and Lyft, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's based on us being independent contractors.
Correct.
So if we become employees, what happens to their business?
Well, because now they're going to be $70 billion in back taxes that they would need to pay for employment taxes.
Possibly back wages?
Right, exactly. Exactly, back wages. Thank you. So there's a lot there.
And also, it's really incredible because you know I'm a sensitive person, and you know what really hurt me about this, and it changed my whole perspective because you know I was a soldier for this. You know, I loved Lyft. You ask anybody. I mean, my children when they go to school, they tell their teacher and their friends, my daddy is a Lyft driver, and they're going, yay. And I said, why don't you tell them that I speak 4 languages and I service airplanes my whole life? And they said, no, Dad, that doesn't matter. You're a Lyft driver. So they have that in their mind that this is a great, cool thing. But, you know, it's like, you know, you get to a point and you're like, why are they going on the TV on CNBC and saying that they want automated vehicles and drivers are the biggest problem? It really hurt. And I felt like, what do you mean we're the biggest problem? We're the ones going out and doing this.
You're the ones.
Can a computer carry a luggage, a piece of luggage? Can a computer console a person that wants, you know, to end it all? You know, you got people that break up with their boyfriends or girlfriend. Can a computer clean up someone throwing up all over your car?
No.
How many customers I've had that got in the car and said, Will, listen, this is very sensitive, this thing. You know, I said, where do you want to go? And they say, I don't know, just take me around for 30 minutes. I just need somebody to talk to.
Wow.
And you look at them, you're like, sure, it's okay. And you become like a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And you know, these people come in your couch, in your car, and they say, so Will, how are you today? And I say, oh, you know, I'm okay, you know, da-da-da. And you tell them about what's happening with you, and they tell you about what's happening with them. But nobody realizes that there's a very strong human factor in this whole thing. And the ratings reflect that. So, you know, you start to become sensitive to the metrics. You say, you know, there's a certain kind of, you got to keep this thing up. So you don't want to get deactivated, you know. So, you know, you have all these pressures that are like mounting on you. And then you have people that report you. And I'm sure most drivers have been through this, report you for no reason whatsoever because they're nasty people. There are people that scream at you at the top of their lungs. And you just take it because you need to just take it, right? But I mean, drivers are heroes.
Absolutely.
These are modern day heroes. I don't care what anybody says.
Absolutely.
And people say, oh, your dad's a Lyft driver, your husband's a Lyft driver, what, you know, like they make a, you know, they look down on it. Lyft and Uber drivers, DoorDashers, all gig economy people, caviar riders on their bikes and, you know, people, these are heroes. These are people that go out there, they put it all on the line to get that product to the end user in the best way they can on their own with no support from anybody. Can you imagine? I was in some locations where my car was on the edge of the ocean. I was sent to a location where my car was here and the waves were crashing, and I was somewhere in Barnegat or something. You know, it was very far away. I never went there. Picked up the passenger and she said, Will, thank you for coming. And it was like 4 a.m. and I picked her up and we drove through the woods there, this beautiful national park. But it was 4 a.m. and I'm driving a stranger, I don't know who they are, to make sure she gets home safely. I mean, these are very admirable things.
It's amazing.
You know, you think about it, and you know, you got drunk people that come and they say, oh, thank God, Will, you're here, I'm with you, I'm safe now, you know.
The Side Gig Central podcast is powered by Drive It Away, the only rental car company built around rideshare drivers so that you can rent to own your vehicle. Visit driveitaway.com for more details. So what would be the one thing that you wish you knew before you started doing rideshare?
You know, the one thing I wish I knew, because I'm a loyal person, you know, and I wish that it was something that I could always depend on. And now it's like you lose an old friend, you know, because it's like, you know, you used to get in the car before the kids need shoes, right? So you say, I'm going to go in the car and drive for 4 hours. I'm going to make 60, 70 bucks. Now you get in the car and you say, oh, my God, you know, 3 hours gone by, no customers. And you're texting your wife and you're saying, I don't have any customers. And she's like, you got to find the customers. We need the money, you know, and we're panicking now. We weren't panicking before. Now we're panicking because there's not enough to go around. And if you do get them, it's less. And I'm not, this is, I'm sure everyone's experiencing this because I'm a yeah. warrior for this thing.
Yeah.
And it was always a friend, you know, and sometimes, you know, you'd have 6 hours where there's no business. And the seventh hour you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, this is horrible. And then bing, it comes up. Long ride, you know, you say, oh, thank God. You click on it. You take the person an hour, 45 minutes away, and then it makes up for all the hours. That's the way it used to be. Now you wait 6 hours and, you know, something happens, you go bing, and it comes 6 minutes away. You know, I mean, how do I do this in a viable way? And that's what drove me back into the job market to get another, and I'm very lucky, you know, I landed something incredible. Yeah. But I mean,
these are war stories though. These are, again, like you said, you cannot be the only person out there that's experiencing
and,
this.
And you have to think about this. Think about it like this, you know, it's not even like, I can't even explain it. It's like, you know, it's like you can't even be angry at anybody because it's like, okay, so you have the company. The company has to make money, right? Okay, so they make their money, right? And then it's like we have to make money and the customer has to save money. But it's like it all doesn't connect. So it's like, you know, the stock price is like, well, there's billions of dollars and stuff, but it's like
the stock price is dropping
very quick. So, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the speculation.
That's right.
And then you're like, you know, so I'm doing this. The customer's pissed, is angry because it's getting more expensive.
It's more expensive, so they're going to use the service less.
They don't tip anymore they used to because it's more expensive. Mm. And then some of them, you know, are, and then you got like the other people, the ones from before that are licking their chops and saying, you know, this is all going to implode. And then, but the thing that they're like after all said and done, you know, when somebody says to you that they're going to bring robots to run these things, you say, okay, well, you know, investors are pushing for that and all that. And I can understand that. But, you know, you got people that are the backbone of this thing, the drivers.
It's 1% of the workforce just imagine, in the United States.
Elena, imagine, just imagine, just an example to show you how, because I'm the real deal here, okay? Imagine you have a company called Uber, for example, right? It's a big company, okay? And then one day the drivers don't come to work. What happens? Now, say every driver said, I'm not going to work.
There's no company, there's no business, you cannot do business.
Right. So, and what would happen, say you want to start your own rideshare company yourself, okay? So you set it up, you say, okay, oh, all these people love my website, it's so cool and it's so beautiful and everything, and you know, I got people wanting from me a cheap rides and everything. Oh my God, I don't have any drivers. So, or I have drivers that are spaced out like an hour and a half apart, and this girl wants to go from A to B in 3 minutes. You know, it's like you need... Sure, you need customers and you need the company, but you need those drivers.
Just the supply and demand.
And the drivers are the ones that...
It's the supply, yeah.
And you hear this all the time. The drivers are the one that put it... I mean, sure, they have the customers and all that. And I always said that the marketing part was good to take 40% of what I have.
You know? but anyway. That was a big old eye roll right there. Yeah,
you know, but there used to be a time. Don't you want your drivers to be successful? Because if they're successful, they're happy... There's no end to what this could do, you know, but when you start to talk about bringing in robots and all this thing, it's very hurtful to those of us that have dedicated, you know, and felt this was our friend, you know, this was our friend. We would be in trouble and we'd pick up our phone and, you know, there's our friend is there. We're going to fix all our problems because our friend is there. We're going to be able to make money. And then you go and your friend's not there anymore. You know, it's only a little bit there, you feel it, you know, you feel it. I don't want to say it's not there at all, but, you know, you kind of feel it. And then, you know, why do you have to make like tolls that you reimburse me for my income? You know, why is that? And I sat in my car, I said, how come I get that? I don't understand. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. You know,
it's a cost of doing business.
But it's not fair.
Yeah, no.
Why would a toll be considered an income? Why would I that be part of my income? So you're like, you know, I didn't go to that location. They sent me to that location.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's like things like this that really make you feel, you know, just like, you know, you feel like, you know, when someone says to you, you're going to bring a computer to replace me in a year or two, and you're like, you know, you see all this media stuff about electronic cars that are driving themselves, and you say to yourself, you know, maybe it's all coming to an end.
So the biggest thing I want to know, well, one of the biggest things is, do you think other drivers kind of understand the ramifications of what actually happened?
HB5? Or is it AB5?
Like, do drivers really understand the scope of it? Because we had a conversation the other day where you were talking to some other drivers.
Yep. Yep.
And you had mentioned that.
And they're looking at me like, what are you talking about? Is that good for us? Is that bad for us? And I'm not an advocate for anybody, you know, but I'm a person that tells the truth. And, you know, people see, it's kind of like, I can explain it to you in this way. Okay. This is the best way I can explain it. If you have a person that is, I'm not saying everybody's desperate. I'm not saying that. But if you have a person that goes to do a job and expects to make money, you know, you're going to, when you get paid, you take the money first and then you cash it and then you do it. You don't really think about it and say, like, you know, what is this really made up of? So, you know, in the sense of understanding, like, how many people have started businesses with great, you know, dreams and you know, delusions that they're going to have something that's incredible, not understand the costing of their business. How many people have bankrupt in their business because they didn't understand? How many currency traders have traded, you know, buying U.S. dollar, Japanese yen contracts and not understanding that 95% of those traders lose money? How many people have bought stocks, you know, over the years and the company goes bankrupt and the buyer loses, you know, the customer loses all their money, but the broker, you know, makes the commission. You know, I mean, these are things you learn if you start to, you know, delve in. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but I'm just saying that people need to understand what they're earning. So it's like if you take a ride and it costs you, you get a ping and it comes back and says, oh, you made $7.11 and the cost of the gas is like $2 and the cost of the insurance, the cost of the car, you know, cost of the wear and tear, the depreciation, you know, their commission and all this stuff. And then you look at it, you're like, would I make $1.20 or something? You know, all you look at is that, wow,
today
I made $180. Well, how much did it cost you to make that $180?
Which is why the bill, the AB5 bill in California, they're saying if they're then an employee, then you would then be able to get, you know, employee rights. You would
if
be
you
able to get
job.
Health insurance.
If
right?
You have a, if so, you have a job. Because remember, so, yeah, when they changed that, you know, there's not that, to me, And again, I'm talking to you as a person that's in it, in the trenches here,
mm-hmm.
Okay? To me, if you have salaried employees, right, like, isn't that more expensive than contracted employees? Because
it is. Yeah, that's why they don't want it. I mean, that's why they're fighting.
So that will change the whole
landscape
of everything.
Absolutely. That's why they don't want it to happen. So it's a big question mark. And it is, without a doubt, one of the big issues that will absolutely change the face of rideshare in 2020. I am.
Oh, my God. If that becomes national, like if.
Well, I mean, it's going to be adopted in 2020
in
California.
How do you do that with thousands of drivers and like they're going to put them on shifts?
They're
going to
fight it. Well, they're going to.
But how do you do that?
So I believe.
How do you manage that with 10 people, let alone thousands of people?
Hundreds
of thousands of drivers that want different shifts in different places at different times and call in sick. And then can you imagine the cost?
Because then
but the
what
infrastructure
you're doing,
cost to the company.
What you're doing then at that moment. Is you're running a taxi company with employees.
Well, taxi companies also, some of them, I believe, are independent contractors.
So they're.
Did you know that?
Yes. And they're adding a layer on.
Well, they have subscription services too, mm-hmm. where you can buy, you know, your car, which is great, but you have to pay a lease to those taxi companies.
Yes.
And some of them could be $170 a day.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you don't make that.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's funny too, because every single rideshare driver that I've ever talked to, and I've asked them the question, what is the thing that you like most about this gig? And the number, yes.
Flexibility.
The number one answer is flexibility. But what happens to that flexibility when, if and when people become employees?
It's over.
It's over.
Because you know, these are the people that say, you know, I'm going to pick up my kids from school. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do my acting classes. See, you know what's so wonderful about Lyft and Uber and all these kind of things is that they give you the opportunity before to be an actor, that you can't get a job as an actor, but you can go to acting classes and work at Lyft and make your rent.
Yeah, exactly.
And make your food. You want to be a stock trader. So you have no money to trade stocks, but you can trade a minimal amount and make that your job. And then at the end of the day, when you make $3 in stock trading in a month, you go back and say, "Well, I got my Lyft money to pay my rent and my utilities and my food."
Exactly.
You know, there's a big sign on Frankfurt Avenue that says, you know, teachers. I can't remember, like, teachers, entrepreneurs, and you know, mothers, fathers, all this. You know, we get you. You know, that's Lyft. You know, that's what it used to be, like Robin Hood, you know. And it's like all of us that have dreams, these side gigs enable those dreams. It's not somebody telling you have to come to work at 9 to 5 every day and sit at a table and do this. Not that that's bad, but that's a structured, you know, daily routine. This is the kind of thing where it says, you know, Will, you can work at 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. when your children are sleeping, and, you know, 8 a.m. to, you know, 5 p.m. to make the money for the family. But then the other hours, I can do whatever I want, and I can be whoever I want.
Exactly.
And that was the draw before.
And that was the draw. That was the whole thing. So we're running out of time.
Sure, sure.
Quickly, so we have another about a minute and a half.
Sure.
And
I hope I gave you some good information.
Yes, absolutely. I'm probably going to have you on for another episode at a different time.
Okay.
So there's just so much to dig into. But my last question is part of our Never Would I Ever segment. Your question has to do with rideshare, so you're going to fill in the blank. The question is, when it comes to rideshare as a side gig, never would I ever...
I'm going to say, as a rideshare driver, never did I ever thought I could transport 7 completely inebriated rugby players to a location and get them there safely without being attacked myself. Okay, is that good?
Yeah.
But I did it.
I did it.
And yeah, when they got out of the car, they gave me a nice tip, and
that's
the car
good.
Was, you know, destroyed. But
but
you know what's good about that? You used to be able to send your picture in, and they could give you like a good amount of money to clean it.
But
now that's
fee.
Changed too. You heard about that, right?
Yeah, the cleaning fee is
I'm just going to end it on this, and for all our friends, drivers out there and stuff, you know, I just want to say one thing. And this is another thing that really hurt me, okay? Because, you know, you go out there and you pick up somebody, and somebody is completely wasted. I mean, totally wasted. And you don't turn them down because you need to get them home. You take them in your car, and they throw up all over your car, and they destroy your car, your beautiful car, your family car. And then you say, you know, okay, he says, whatever. And you take him, you put him in his house, he's safe. Oh, not in his house. You take him, put him where he needs to be dropped off because you can't go in the house. And you leave him there. And then you take pictures. And you send it to the company, and you say, I need to be reimbursed for this. And you have to fight for that reimbursement. I mean, you have to prove it, that it's real and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, it's a real slap in the face, you know, because you're saying, here I am. I did everything the right way, the honest way. And this person did everything wrong. And you're telling me that you're going to try to cut down the amount of money you're going to give me to save them money. You know, it's this culture of, you know, drivers are second. And, you know, if you want this thing to really succeed,
It's going to be the downfall.
If drivers, I'm telling you, drivers need this. This may sound a little bit biased, but drivers, you know, and customers need to both be first.
Absolutely.
Not
Will,
just
one the other. Thank you so much. I'm going to end it right there. I'll have to have you come back. Thank you so much for your time.
I had a wonder, and I think you're a wonderful person, and you're doing a wonderful thing for a lot of people, and even those people that can't speak for themselves. You're speaking for all of them, and
you're doing an incredible thing.
And, you know, I'm here with my sword right next to you.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening to the Side Gig Central podcast. You can dive into the show notes for this episode and for all past episodes at sidegigcentral.com. If you love the show, share it with a friend. And while you're at it, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. I'll talk to you very soon. And by the way, keep up that side hustle because it looks good on you.